And so if y'all want to get your Bibles open, you want to take out that little study guide that you have there that goes along with the sermon out of your bulletin. I pray that you receive the bulletin today. We've been going through the book of Colossians, just kind of verse by verse, section by section, and we've been allowing God to speak to us through it. We learned that chapter 3 shows us how the body of Christ is supposed to work together and how we're supposed to rely on God. And then later on in chapter 3, it tells us that we're going to get rid of the old man and let the new man take over. Do I get an amen? Are you letting the new man take over? Amen. Well, we got to make room for the new man. So that means we've got to actively fight against that old man in the flesh every day and give that new man an opportunity to take over. And that new man is being formed into the image of Him who created us, right? We need to be more like Jesus every day. And in that, it shows us as well how to work within the church as the new man and to work within our family as new men and women in Christ. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but that part really hits home with me because we got saved midstream. We got married really young. We had our BC kids, you know, before Christ children, and they didn't come with an instruction manual. I didn't know that this was the instruction manual at the time. Thankfully, my wife had a pretty good idea that this was the instruction manual, so she was looking in it. But we had to submit not only ourselves to Christ, but we wound up having to submit our marriage to Christ and our family to Christ. And through that, God has grown our family, both numerically, yes, we have 8 children, and also in spirit. Our family belongs to Jesus. Our family is about Jesus. Our family revolves around Jesus. I don't say that as a boast. I say that as almost like a prayer request. Please pray for us that we can keep our family revolving around Jesus Christ. Because it is really easy to get distracted. I know that. But God shows us in His Word that the way that we submit our families to Christ is by actually playing the role and the part that God has called for us to play in this. By exhibiting the type of character qualities in Christ that God would want us to, as both wives, husbands, children, and fathers in our families. Okay? You may be sitting here thinking, well, I don't really have a family and all this stuff in that way. You're part of the bigger family, the family of Christ, and God uses all of us in this plan. How we live among the family of God helps our children to grow up in an atmosphere where they're going to want what God wants for them. So every one of us play an active role in this. So let us do it to the glory of God. Then, as we went through chapter 3, I'm just doing a quick recap so that we're all kind of on the same page as we roll on into the next part, because it's all important that we keep it in line. The next part teaches us how masters and slaves or bond servants should serve our role. And some would say, well, this would advocate slavery. No, it advocates that if you have a debt to pay, you need to work to pay it off. Do I get an amen? So, those who are working to pay off a debt and how they should serve according to the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven with their boss. And so we learned about that type of relationship. And it ends with that thought that masters give your bond servants. This is verse 1 of chapter 4. What is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So, we ended our last message with the thought that we all serve the same master. Amen? Whatever part we play in all of this, we all have the very same master. And so, that's going to bring us to the verses that we're going to look at today, which comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Can I have everybody stand for this reading of God's Word, please? If you're able. All right. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let me pray for us today. Dear Father, I pray one more time in this service that as we have read these verses and we have read them as we have stood before you, that we would apply these verses to our life. So Lord, teach us the application. Teach us first how to understand what you're saying to us, and then teach us how we can apply this to our lives today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, y'all can have a seat. We're going to break this down. So, we have learned what our role is with God as a child of God. We have learned what our role is in the family of God. We have learned what our role is in our family. We have learned what our role is in whatever our work relationships are. And so now, we're going to learn one of the primary purposes that we need to shoot toward in not only what we do, but who we are as people of God. I can tell you that all these things that have been laid out before us in these past weeks, there is not one of them that we can do properly without the power of God helping us. Do I get an amen to that? I cannot do any real, true, lasting, good thing in my own strength. I need God and God alone to be my strength. Because you see, in this heart, there's not one good thing except that which is of God. And that is just the human condition. God tells us in many different places in His Word that in the human heart, there's all kinds of evil, folks. And it's only the cleansing of God's Spirit that can help us. And so we need to rely on Him. How are we going to find that kind of grace on a regular basis? It's by steadfast, watchful prayer. Earnest prayer, as it put it in the New King James Version or the King James Version. What does earnest mean? It means to be consistent about it. It means that we need to continue to apply ourselves to it. That this needs to be the thrust of our life. That really this needs to be a continual practice. In fact, somewhere else, Paul makes it clear in God's Word that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. What does that look like, to pray without ceasing? Obviously, it doesn't mean on our knees with our eyes closed and our hands folded like this, and so many times, you know, you get the emoji. That means praying for you. Whenever I'm driving down the road praying, guys, I'm just going to tell you, my hands ain't together and my eyes aren't closed. But I am praying, because I can tell you, I can't do anything on my own, and there's all kinds of problems around us, and I can see them every day. And there might be an issue, and my daughter might be in Bulgaria, and my son might be in Indonesia, and I might have heard about some bad news about this person and that person and whatever else. And I can tell you, I can't handle any of it if you put it all, even just one of those things on me. I would buckle under the pressure. But what I do is make it my aim to constantly give it back to God. And that means I'm going to have to pray diligently, steadfastly, earnestly. You put your own word on it, but it means to get real about prayer. I find people that say, oh yeah, I know God, I pray, well, almost every day. I pray at dinner. That's good. You should pray at dinner. But is that the only time that you really expose yourself to talk to God? I have found that as you live a life in Christ, not with Christ, beside Christ, around Christ, but in Christ, that's where we find salvation, by the way. That as we are in Christ, you will find that you have a consistent conversation going on with Him, even just silently in your mind. You're asking Him, is this right? Is this really the way I should be going? You know, I miss my earthly dad, but I can tell you I got a heavenly Father. And that heavenly Father is available to me all the time, 24/7. He even knows my thoughts. So there's really no use for us to hide from Him or to think that we can do this without Him. In fact, we should openly approach Him. And I think that's what it's talking about. It's given us all this direction of how we should live. And then it begins to tell us, continue. Verse 2, our prayer needs to be courageously persistent. Let's go to the next slide. courageously persistent. If you really want to, if you want to take that those two words that are involved there, continue earnestly, and you take the Greek words apart, this is what they mean. Courageously persistent. It means to take hold of and don't let go. Okay? So what we need to do in every given situation is take hold of God and consistently hang on to Him on that issue and do not let go. So Jesus made it very clear that we're to ask and keep on asking. That's the way it's written in the Greek. We are to knock and keep on knocking, right? That's what we're supposed to be about in our life. And so here in this Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, in that first part, I want to pay special attention to that. Continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. Prayer is you talking to God. Now, I'm going to ask you something. In a relationship with another individual, do you do all the talking? I got one person saying no. Are you the only one talking in a relationship between two people? Okay, I got three people saying no. Are the rest of you guys just talking all the time? All right, what do you do as well as talking? You listen. It needs to be a dialogue, not a monologue. That's why I'm asking you guys a question, because I don't want this to be a monologue. This is a dialogue. I'm talking to you, and I want you to express to me that we're tracking on the same, we're all on the same pathway here, okay? So in this dialogue of continuing earnestly in prayer, I want you to know prayer is a two-way street. It is a two-person conference. It is a conversation, and it needs to be a dialogue. And you go, now, wait a minute. How's God going to talk to me? And some of you already know what I'm going to do. He does it through His Word. So if you are saying that you are a Christian and you base your evidence on the fact that you talk to God, I'm going to ask you the next question. Do you let God talk to you? Because it needs to be a dialogue. And a dialogue happens when you pick up the Word of God and you lay your eyes on the page and you practice the discipline of reading the Word of God. If you don't, how can you really say you have a relationship going on? Because I've lived as a Christian for a while, and there's been a few times God's given me some inspiration, but even those inspirations from God, I better check against the Word of God, because God never changes His mind or goes against the Word. So, here's my strongest point to this first observation. Courageously be persistent in two-way prayer. Now, you might say, well, I'm not a very good reader. And I'm going to say, neither am I. You might say, but I get distracted. I'm going to say, I have six children at home. That was a joke. It's easy to get distracted with six children making noise. And so here's what I'm going to say. I understand where you're at, and some may need other ways of hearing the Word of God. You notice I said hear. So maybe you can't always read, then put yourself in a place where you can hear God's Word. You know they make audio Bibles? In fact, if you got a smartphone, you can go online for free and get a Bible app that also has the little speaker thing at the bottom, and you can push that speaker thing, and it will read that chapter to you, and it does a really good job. It gives you another way that you can take in the Word of God. But please, please, please make prayer a dialogue, a two-way street. And as we do this, God will feed us with what we need to be able to go forward with Him. Do you say, I have a lot of anxiety? I say, I understand. Do you say, I get discouraged sometime? I say, I understand. Do you say, sometimes I feel downright depressed? I say, I understand. You know why I understand? Because so do I. And so did David. And so did all of the church forefathers. And so you read through those Psalms and you will see how David was depressed sometimes, but how he claimed the promises God gave him. You'll see his dialogue with God, and you will learn to have dialogue with God as well. So please, 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 if you get nothing else from this sermon, please understand that you need to courageously, that's with courage, be persistent in a dialogue of prayer with God. And let it be daily, on a continuous basis. We need it to be able to live for God. Do I get an amen? Okay, number two. Our prayer needs to be alert and focused. Alert and focused. Okay? Continue earnestly in prayer. This next part. Being vigilant. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Being vigilant. What does vigilant mean? It means your eyes are open and you're noticing. Okay? You're keeping your eyes open and you're noticing. So what is it that you're noticing while you're praying? I think that your heart is open to allowing God to teach you how to pray, to show you what to pray for, where the prayer needs are, and even asking God to examine you and show you where you need to pray for yourself. Amen? Because we haven't all arrived. None of us are perfect. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands because I don't want to see if anybody thinks they're perfect. None of us are. We're still a work in progress. And so I think we need to be vigilant in our prayer, and that means being alert and focused. And what I think this involves is having spiritual discernment in your prayer. Okay, now here's the deal. You might say, but preacher, I don't know what to pray. You know, I sit down to pray and I just don't know what to pray for. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit knows our weaknesses. And He will actually pray on our behalf. The Spirit of God knows what to pray. What you need to do, I think, is just allow God to have your attention for a time and let Him speak into your heart. Maybe the Bible reading comes first. Maybe we allow God to speak to us first and then we pray. But allow God to lead your prayer. Be alert and focused about what needs to be prayed for and how we need to go about it. Number three. Let our prayer needs to be out of an attitude of thanksgiving. Do I get an amen to this one? Guys, God wants us to be thankful before He delivers. What does that show whenever we're thankful before He delivers? Let it be out of an attitude of thanksgiving. You see, not just the action of saying thank you, which that comes out of it, but an attitude of being thankful. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You see, as you are praying, you're showing faith by saying, thank you, God, because I know you're going to answer this better than I expect. Can I get an amen on that? Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you've ever been a parent to small children or helped with small children, and I would say almost everybody in this room can relate to this, okay? If you've ever worked with small children, how does it make you feel when a small child comes up to you and demands something of you and then walks away without saying thank you after you've helped them? You think, that person is very ungrateful. I just don't know how motivated I'm going to be to help them in the future. I wonder if God ever, you know, like, thinks, I can't just keep giving to these ungrateful people without them learning this attitude of being thankful. Because, you know, when you see the unthankful, spoiled child, what are you thinking? You're thinking, man, I hate to think of what they're going to be like when they grow up. Right? Let's cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving. And I think the way that we cultivate that is by being thankful even before we receive anything from His hand. Next observation, praying for yourself and the saints who are serving. Meanwhile, he says, praying also for us. What is the also? You know, also suggests that there's already something you're praying about. So, probably the first thing that's going to come to your mind when you sit down to pray is going to be some struggles that you are experiencing. And so it's almost like a given that God understands that the first thing you're going to be praying for is yourself. And I don't mean that like in a selfish sort of a way. God, give me $1 million. God, I saw that new pickup the other day, and man, do I want that new pickup. I would suggest those not be the first things that you go to God for. But rather, like, God, cultivate in me a spirit of thankfulness. God, you know, the doctor said that I have this diagnosis. Man, I am really concerned about it, but I submit myself to you today. If it would be your will, I would really desire healing in this issue, but I am submitting myself to you. Okay, those are all going to be part of your prayer life, I'm sure. And it's expected that it will be. In fact, in the Lord's model prayer, what was he said? Give us this day our daily bread. So he's saying, go ahead and pray for yourself. Paul's saying through the Holy Spirit, meanwhile, praying also for us. He's giving a prayer request. He's saying, when you sit down to pray, I want you to remember to pray for us. Okay? And so we need to be praying for the saints who are serving. Remember to pray for the saints all over the world. You've got brothers and sisters that are literally in prison for the faith. Pray for them. And as you remember to pray for them, I'm going to tell you, God will be motivated even more so to answer your own prayers, to propel you forward, because you are showing him that you want more than just something for me. I want God's kingdom to grow. And so meanwhile, praying also for us, that the next slide, that God would open to us a door for the Word. So where's our focus starting to shift? Okay, so I have my main prayer focuses and these people that I know around me and myself and even for the saints around the world, that the kingdom of God would advance. We are praying for open doors for the gospel. Amen? That needs to be a normal part of your prayer life. Paul is saying, pray that God would open a door for us. Open doors for us. Why? For the Word of God. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is what changes people's lives. And as the Word goes forward, people's lives are changed. And as you pray for this, you become a part of what they are doing. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7:7-8, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I heard a really funny story from a book that we're reading. This comes from the Chinese church back in back in probably the early 1900s. Watchman Nee was a gentleman. He wrote some books on Christian living. He was a very spiritual, spirit-filled pastor, and this friend of his, another pastor, was talking about how whenever they pray, if it's an undirected prayer, they could be just knocking on the wall. Whenever you walk up to the person's house, where do you walk to if you really want to have an encounter with the individual? You go to the door. Well, sometimes in our spiritual ignorance, because we're not vigilant and we don't have our spiritual eyes open, we could be over here with our eyes closed, knocking on the wall, and expecting an answer. And he said, maybe you need to move toward the door and knock there, because there Jesus can give you the answer. I thought that was really an interesting way to look at it. You know, I think sometimes the American church is knocking in the wrong place. Sometimes we need to go straight to the door, and that means going through Jesus. He's the way. We need to make sure we're not asking based on our goodness, because I can tell you, there's nothing good in you folks. I got two nods. How about an amen? Amen. There's nothing good in this guy. Come on, everybody can amen on that one. Only God who's in us, only Jesus himself. And so we've got to go through the door. And Jesus said, he is the door. And so, knock on the door. Knock through Jesus. And each one of those, ask, seek, and knock, Those are imperatives, meaning we need to continue in them all the time. Okay? Active imperatives. Those are verbs. Jesus also said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these sayings says, He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, who will He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Guys, I'm going to tell you, that church wasn't perfect any more than what we are. But I can tell you one thing they were doing. They were praying for an open door, and Jesus opened it. And He said, "You just have a little bit of faith, but it's enough. It's enough because you're asking for an open door, and I've opened it." And He also tells us the spiritual truth there. Only He can open a door for the gospel. None of us can. No matter how much great effort we put into it, only God can open the door. Only Jesus Himself can. And I can tell you, when He does, nobody else can come along and close it. Do I get an amen? So I want you to ask Jesus for the open doors. We can't force them open. You may want to. You got that loved one you'd love to see get saved. You want to go like, you know, kick that door open like a Walker Texas Ranger and go in and just whip them into salvation. The thing of it is, guys, it won't work. God's the only one that can help open the door to bring the gospel in. And it's through His still, small voice. It's through that quietness of His Spirit. And it is an amazing thing to see it happen. He can do that to a whole community. Do I get an amen? He can do it to a whole school. Amen? He can do it to the White House. Keep praying. He can do it to our nation. God gives us boldness and clarity to speak as we pray. Do I get an amen? Guys, this next part. So we need the open door, and only God can open it. Once we get the open door, what are we going to do with it? You see, that open door is going to require some action from the church. And He says, "Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ." Do you understand this is a mystery to the rest of the world? They're sitting over there scratching their heads looking at the church folks saying, "Man, what's wrong with those people? They're nuts." They're all singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. What Jesus ever do for them?" You ever hear somebody ask that question? Well, guys, we know the answer. So what did Jesus ever do for you? He died for me. He paid for me. He paid for my sins. He has given me eternal life. And He has given me a new life in Christ. Man, we got the answer. And we're all sitting back here going, "They think we're crazy. So I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to say anything." You pray for boldness to speak. You pray for me to have boldness to speak. And you know what God will do? He'll also give you boldness to speak. Because as you're praying for others, God will be enforcing it in you. He'll be boiling it to the surface. And as you spend the time praying with God, you'll come out of there ready to speak. But you know why? So many of us stand in line at Walmart or at the gas station pump, and we just start complaining about everything that's happening to us rather than speaking and praising God. Is because we haven't spent that time being filled up with God in the morning. You see, before you go out to talk to people, you better spend some time talking to God. Because as you do, God will start pouring into you. And I'll just tell you, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And this is man speaking who was sitting in prison, folks. I can tell you, all the way up to the day that they chopped that man's head off. Yes, Paul died with his head getting lopped off. But I'm telling you, all the way up to that precious day when that saint walked up to Jesus in heaven, I want you to know that even in his chains, he was making it manifest and he was speaking. And we don't see it in the scripture, but in some very faithful historical documents, it says one of his executioners got saved the day they chopped his head off. I'm talking up to the chopping block. Paul was speaking boldly. And do you know why? Because he was asking everybody to pray for him. God was making him bold. And right up to the point that he's got the two escorts, I can just envision what it must have looked like that day. One's got him by one arm, the other's got him by the other arm because they're afraid he might just run. He ain't going to run because he is submitted to God. And on the way up there, rather than saying, woe is me, and oh, I can't believe God's let me down like this. I don't know why I ever followed that Jesus. He just let me down. Look at me. I'm about to die. Instead, he was saying, do you know Jesus? Do you know where you're going to go when you draw your last breath? And he was praising Jesus up to that chopping block. And I just want you to know, church history says, one of his executioners got down on his knees and he said, you're going to have to cut mine off next because I am as he. And I'm just going to tell you, that's how we need to live. If you're living like that, whether you live or die, you belong to Christ. I want you to pray for me to have that kind of boldness. And you know what I'm going to do in exchange? I'm going to do you the greatest favor. I am going to return that prayer right back to you. I am going to pray that every one of y'all have the boldness to speak and make manifest the gospel of Christ and do it as you ought to speak. I'll tell you, this is going to flow out of a regular two-way dialogue with God every day. You will be filled with the Spirit as you are surrendered to the Spirit of God and to His will for your life. And you know what? You're going to be the best wife or husband. You're going to be the best worker in the workforce. You're going to be the best church member. You're going to be the best whatever God calls you to be. Because Jesus is going to be in the center of your focus. Do you want to live for Jesus? It happens as we stay connected to Him every day. I wish it was just one day and I'm done. It just don't work that way. It is an ongoing daily walk with God. And you know what? Really, I don't wish it was just one day and done because I get to see so much of what God's doing this way even before I go to heaven. But when that day comes, I'll be good for it. Ready to go. But until then, let's do it our best to pray and to pray for one another. Okay? And pray for the world. But please don't forget about all those neighbors that are in between. Be praying for open doors and that we will have the boldness to speak. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit living in us. And Lord, if we find the Holy Spirit's not living in us, that means we're not saved. We just need to turn our life over to you that day. If it's today, let it happen today, Lord. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, and I know I'm a sinner, so please forgive me. Help me to turn away from that sin, give my life to you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior because I believe you rose on the third day and you're at the right hand of the Father right now. You're making intercession for me. That means you're praying for me to the Father right now, so I come to Jesus today and surrender my life. I want to be a Christian. And what I know is if that is truly, sincerely your heart, the Bible says at that point you're saved and you're saved to follow Jesus. So Lord, please help us to follow you closer and closer each and every day. Bless us as we sing this last song. We call this our song of invitation. We are inviting anybody and everybody who wants to come to the front to ask whatever is on their heart, Lord, that you would bring deliverance into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.